Lord, for being our God, being in this place, and I ask you to help me give this message and to open up those hearts that the message is for. We pray this in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. I stole a joke from one of my kids. I know it's a little bit, takes place in a bar. This bartender is tending bar, and this duck walks in, and duck says, "Do you have any grapes?" He goes, "No, I don't have any grapes." So the duck leaves. A little bit later, duck walks back in. "Do you have any grapes?" He goes, "You were just here." "No, I don't have any grapes." Duck leaves. A little bit later, duck comes back in. "You got any grapes?" "You know, I told you 2 times I don't have any grapes. You come in here one more time, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor." Things are good. Duck comes in again. "Got any nails?" "No, I don't have any nails." "Got any grapes?" So life is weird sometimes, and not unlike the things we do. So the parasha today talks about the law, and that's what we're going to talk in depth today on the law. The attempt is to try to figure out, what does God want us to do? I know that we all seek to do what is good and seek to do what's right, but what does the word say? So there's an awful lot in today's parasha, but I did want to start out with just a couple things, we'll see how far today goes, or how far it goes. It might not be that long. But we're going to start in Exodus 21, verses 12 through 35. Let me get to the right place. Like Bob, my notes aren't in order for some reason. So this talks about personal injury. So there's an awful lot of legal things in here. In this section and the next, they talk about how to set up the temple and all these things. They talk about how to handle servants. If you kill somebody, the rules for what the consequences are. In this particular section, 21, starting in verse 12, there's an awful lot of very specific provisions about what you shall and shall not do, and what the penalties are for that. And when we look at things like this, especially New Testament preachers, we say, this is the law. This is what, you know, Hebrews used in the past to earn their way to heaven. But when we look through these very specific laws, you can go to our own penal code, and they say almost the exact same thing. You shall not kill. You shall not have some unsanctioned types of sex, and there's an awful lot of that. And the penalties for those particular things are not necessarily a biblical thing. They're just a civil thing. This is how God wants you to react. And it's not to make yourself holy to God, but we live in a society. And there has to be a set of rules, and since we don't always do well, God writes it down very specifically. So I remember being, and I think I've said this story before I was saved, you know, I used to grapple with good and evil. I think I followed the things that were good, but you know, I see people getting away with things, and it's like, why do that? Why do good when people do better by not doing good? Life is hard. I wish there was a set of instructions for that. You know, lo and behold, there are instructions. But do we choose to follow them? And do we choose to follow all of them? Or do we just choose to follow parts? Leviticus is very detailed in the do's and don'ts. And like I said, a lot of them are just kind of common sense, and a lot of them are ingrained in our penal code. Then there's others that talk about farther on in verses 16 through 31, some of our social responsibilities. One of them that isn't in our penal code is do not allow a sorceress to live. So, and you can think about things like that, but especially if our instructions are to follow God, you know, this falls into the categories of not following God and following false gods, and the penalty to that was death. And there are an awful lot of these that were, the penalty was death. But we balance, you know, the things that we do, the laws that we follow, and when we look at these Levitical laws, do we or don't we follow all of them? The balance that I think tends to we grapple with was in the New Testament, we're said to be saved by grace and saved through faith. And the fruit of the Spirit we'll talk about a little bit later. But where is our responsibility? And does that give us liberty to do anything we want? And the answer is no. But, you know, it has to be a balance. So we study hard. We try to follow that path onto our feet. And we study that path onto our feet with such depth, you know, it says, God will be a path onto my feet. So I go, where is that path? And although I can step, I'm not even sure I should step, but I see it. So I will examine it a little bit closer. And I will get down and, yes, this is it. And I will examine all the grains of this path so I am very sure it's going to be right. And I'll keep going to make sure I'm right on that path. And then something happened. What? Someone put something in my path. What's wrong with these people? I'm following God here. Why are you in my way? And we just get irate because something happened. And it's not according to my schedule. And it's not on the path. The path is right here. This is not in the path. So we say. But as we read Galatians, and I want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19, there are a set of don'ts. So let's read a little bit of this. 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, which I tell you, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So all those things, you know, this is a short way of wrapping up an awful lot of what we read in Exodus, in the law. Don't do these things. These things are evil and will just cause more strife in our society, and that's not what we are to be about. We are to be about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we look at those type of things, you know, Those are the things that God would have us do. But how often do we actually do those things? And what are, you know, the things that were stated above? It's not exactly like the law says do this and this is fruit. You know, there are some subtleties in there that we write laws very specifically to cause people's actions to change in a particular way. And there's not always 100% correspondence to that. I work in the aerospace industry and we build satellites. And we have specifications that are thicker than this. And we have procedures that are just go on forever. And sometimes we get caught up in all the very, very, very fine detail of how things are supposed to get done. And then all of a sudden someone asks this embarrassing question. Why are we doing that? What do you mean, why are we doing that? It says so right here on page 1658, we're supposed to do that, right there. I mean, how many times do we do that? And we forget, what exactly is it that we're supposed to do? We're so busy following that path that we forget what we're supposed to be about. And the measure that he says in Galatians here is the fruit. Do you show fruit? So the fruit, and let's just play a little game here and say, what is a fruit and what's the opposite of that fruit? So for love, I would say it'd be hate or anger or even disappointment. For joy, again, disappointment, maybe sorrow, feeling depressed. Peace, the opposite of that would be like war, discontent, brawling. Back in the day, one of the things I used to like to do with my brothers when I was older is just get them pissed off. So, you know, if they said we ought to go to the right, hey, why don't we go to the left? No. So, you know, that was just entertainment. But that's war, right? That's not what we're supposed to be about. Long suffering or patience. I mean, that's one that I know I struggle with. The opposite of that is impatient, right? How come you're not done yet? Why are you still here? It's 4:00. You should be out of this building. I don't know if you've ever heard that. But sometimes these things get the better of me. So, you know, I'm a work in progress, I admit. Thank you, babe. Gentleness. And what's the opposite of gentleness? Harshness, being rough, being unkind, being cold, being too abrupt. And I know none of us do that. Goodness, what's the opposite of good? Evil, bad. And I mean, some of these are very obvious. Some of them are just not. Faithfulness. What is the opposite of faithfulness? Unfaithfulness. Infidelity. Disloyalty. Untrustworthiness. Lack of integrity. Lack of honesty. Lack of trustworthiness. Lack of when you say something that you don't keep your own word. Lack of trust. When God gives you a promise, I don't believe him. You know, Bob had mentioned this during the Luke study, that, you know, some of these things are hard. God says to trust me. And he will put us to the test, all the way up to the point where we think we're going to break. But then he'll pull us out. But we worry about that. My God, God, I'm going to break. A little bit more. No. I worry. What does he say? He says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. But that's hard. You know, that I admit that's something I struggle with, but that's unfaithfulness. That is not what we're called to do. So fruit is more trusting, more faithfulness. Meekness. So what's the opposite of being meek? Being proud, being boastful. Look at me, I got these long tassels on my stuff, and you know, I got gold filling on my stuff. It falls. You know, how proud are we? And there are some times to be bold, and God calls us to be bold, because sometimes there are people out there that won't get the message until you break out the 2x4, right? But what is in your heart? And I think this is where this goes, is what exactly is in your heart that says, are you proud in my heart? Yes, I am that good. Now, if you're given a message and you want to make a point, that's fine. But if you actually believe that, then I think we've gone a little too far. Self-control. Ooh. What's the opposite of self-control? No self-control. Out of control. Impatient. One of the things I put down was the third thing we learned about Peter. Ready, shoot, aim. Intolerance, you know, and again, you know, I think we're all guilty of that. But when we look at all these things, we look at all the fruit that God says to be, and we think about the things that aren't fruit, and we're all Christians, or we believe in Yeshua for an awful long time. We've studied the Bible for an awful long time. I mean, this group of people have been studying this word. Now, this has to be one of the more educated as far as the word groups that I've ever been in. And I've been in some big churches, but the amount of people we have here that have been following the Lord as long as they have, that have studied this book, as long as we have, this is the greatest group I've been in as far as the knowledge base. But when you look at this list and you say, these are the fruits of the Spirit, and these are not the fruits of the Spirit, and you look at your own life day to day, do you find yourself exhibiting more fruit that is positive or more fruit that is negative? We live in a world that, you know, we call a rat race. There's an awful lot of hustle and bustle, and that's just what we got to do. But it works against us. We're impatient. We're a little bit out of control. We're too proud of what we do. And we forget what it is God would have us do. There's no joy in our life. You know, we're just working for the man, trying to get a little bit more money so we can pay a little more bills, so we can get more money and pay more bills. And to what end do we want all this to be? The question they asked Yeshua was, Master, what is the greatest commandment here? Because there are just too many commandments to follow. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, spirit, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commands come down to that. We study incredibly to find just that little thing. But it all comes to that. Because sometimes we're not sure what that means. And what does it mean? You know, the picture I get is God the Father sitting down, and we come to him just like kids, and we sit in his lap. And he says, you know, you weren't very nice to your brother. But she did this. She pulled my hair. She's touching me. And we say that, and he says, be nice. I'll talk to your sister. But what have you done to cause this? Or maybe you haven't. But it's still, be nice. These are the things I want you to do, but you know, love your brother. Because your brother is also my child. I'm not going to go down and smite him because you have an argument with him. If there's just cause, then maybe justice will be held. But there's a system for that. What do I ask of you? When Yeshua came back from the resurrection and he met Peter at the shore, he said, feed my sheep. He said, Lord, I'll do that. And he did that 3 times. And it got Peter kind of a little mad. Lord, I'm going to do this. But what are you going to do about John? You know, how many times do we think about, the Lord wants us to do something. But what about that guy? You know, we compare ourselves to people on other people's tasks. They're much better than me. He has better clothes than I do. He has better stuff than I do. He has more money than I do. He has more things than I do. You know, we compare ourselves to all the people that have stuff that we want. We don't compare ourselves to the other people. All the people we're better than. We don't go, you are much better than that guy. I mean, I have much better clothes than that guy. You know, I got more things than that guy. We don't do that. We go, how come I don't have that? And what are we doing? We're sitting on God's lap and we're crying, he's touching me. You gave him two lollipops and I only have one. You know, I used to, back when we had a lot of kids in diapers, and there were just a handful. I used to work on a job, and we were putting out an awful lot of stuff. But, you know, at the same time there were kids, you know, there was crying and yelling and screaming and poking. And I go home, and there's the exact same thing with these little kids. So even in the workplace, we're adults. That just means we cry differently. We whine differently. We create different types of messes that someone has to go clean up. And we all come to the Father. We should come to him and say, God, what about that? But he has a whole list of things that we talk about before. Did you do this? You know, this is a crime in my mind. You should be put to death. And here's a whole bunch of them. One of the, when I was a kid, I think I was in sixth or seventh grade, in Fort Eustis, Virginia. We used to, like in the summer, we'd go to the store. There was a little convenience store, like a 7-Eleven. Go buy candy, because, boy, that was fun. I'd go there with a bunch of my friends. And one time we went, and all of a sudden, some of my friends were stealing stuff. They were, you know, we bought a bunch of stuff. We were about to leave, but they're still in the aisles, you know, grabbing one of these and grabbing one of those. And then some of my other friends, they were doing the same thing. And I was like, you can't do that. And they kept on doing it. It's like, well, give me some. So they started putting it in my bag, and we're getting ready to leave. Before the store owner came over, the manager said, come with me, boys. And I was like, oh, busted. We get called down to the MP station, and our parents have to come pick us up. And I remember thinking, well, okay, I did wrong. and I'll get punished, but you know, this and that, and they were doing it, and I wasn't really doing it, but I was doing it, and it's like, and then my dad shows up. I remember. Sorry. I was crying. Because my dad was there. And he knew what I did. And did I embarrass him because I was doing this? Maybe. And I think, how do we approach God? We do all these things and we think, it doesn't matter. But we sit in his lap and we say all these things we want. But he sees all of our sins. And sometimes we forget about that. He sees all of our fallings. And we rationalize it. Oh, it's not as bad as that guy. It's not as bad as this guy. But his standard were all the things we read in Leviticus. Those were his standards. Love thy neighbor as yourself, and here are the rules, and here are the penalties. And we have the gall, the audacity, the boldness to say, but that doesn't matter. It does matter. 2,000 years ago, there was a sacrifice. Innocence was put on the cross. And innocent blood was shed for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. So there is a cost for the things we do. So as we go forward, you know, the things to remember are sometimes the instructions are maybe too detailed for us to carry. And we go back to love our Father with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we exhibit more positive fruit than negative fruit, I think we're doing well. We're, you know, it's like the adage Bob had mentioned before about Jewish synagogues. Do as good as you can. Next year, try to do better. We're always going to sin. The mark is not to be perfect, because the only perfect one was God. You know, we go along this road and we bump our head. Someone's in our path. Well, maybe they were there for a reason. And maybe it's not all about us. Maybe we're there to help someone else. Maybe there's something bigger than us individually. Me, 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 me. How many things are about me? Well, if you ask me, I'll tell you. But is that true? How much easier it'd be to follow those things if we didn't focus as much on ourselves as we did on God. We focused others focused on their needs and helping them out before us, how much joy would we really have? It's kind of tragedy when you read about famous people that make it to the top of their game, have all this wealth and have all this fame, and they're great, and they kill themselves because they get there and it just wasn't it. It's just folly. But how many times when you give a little kid something, do you feel joy in your heart? That you fill someone's need, that true joy just comes out. But we forget, oh, no, it's not about you, it's about me. Is that true? We have to come out of our comfort zone sometimes and think of other people above ourselves. Think of God above ourselves. There are things that he has us do. But to do the things that he wants, there's a better way to do it. I love the Shema. You know, I think that's another thing that just pulls it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. That's all there is. Why does it have to be more than that? Love God. And if you love God, then you're going to follow his commands. It doesn't have to be harder than that. If you haven't made that decision to follow God, then it's not hard. You just have to pray to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect, and I recognize that there is a God in heaven. And I put my trust in you. And I put my faith in your son, Yeshua, and I accept the fact that he gave his blood for my forgiveness. Come into my life, and I want to be yours. And if you said that prayer, and if you want to make that commitment, we'll be here after the service. You can come and we'll pray for you. Father God in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, that you've given us your word. We thank you that you sent your son to offer his life for our forgiveness, that our sins may be covered by his blood, not of our own works, but through you, dear Lord, and through your son, may we come into your presence and be with you and be able to call you Abba, to be able to call you Father, to be able to call you Daddy, and that you will take care of us, Lord, and that our time here is but a temporary thing that we must endure, but that we may use as a training ground to do your will. I pray all these things in the name of your son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.